Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
On the 8th of July, 1962, Prem, I was only 15 years of age then. Actually, if you do the calculation, you will realize next week, next Sunday, I should come because you'll probably want to bring presents, but it's my birthday. On that day, in a hall just like this, in Perth, Western Australia, I made a commitment of my life to Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. I was fairly new to the area. I just started going to the youth group, and I was listening about God and that for a year or two, but I think I was mainly going to the youth group to check out all the young ladies there, which was really nice. As young guys do, and I'm not putting any pressure on the young guys that are here. But we had a lady evangelist, which was fairly unusual in those days. Her name was Bernice Hall. She's probably passed and enjoying the Lord's company right now as I'm speaking. She preached a message that really, even though I'd heard about God and I'd been loved by the pastors in the church there, she preached a message. I can't remember all the details, but I do remember that she had two main points. She said, "You're probably wondering what your life is all about and where your life is heading." She said, "I want to bring to your attention that really the God who created this world deserves the full allegiance of your lives for two reasons. Number one is that he is the one who brought you to birth and gave you life in the first place. And secondly, when like everybody else, we had fallen short of God's wonderful standard for our lives, this holy God did all that was necessary to win us or buy us back into friendship, into fellowship with him. We were birthed by him, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, we were bought by him." And then she opened up an opportunity for people to put their hands up who would like to respond and give the allegiance of their lives to this Jesus that she was talking about. I could identify with what she was saying because in the honesty of my heart, I knew that I'd fallen short of God's standard for my life. I'd lived in disobedience to him. I'd lived as a sinner. In fact, I remember one person defining sin as this, S-I-N, self-indulgent nature. And I thought, wow, that sums it up. That's how I was living. And I felt in my heart a desire to say, "God, I am really sorry. I've missed your whole purpose for you bringing me into being. Would you forgive me?" And when she invited people who wanted to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, I was one of the first. I'm not sure if I knelt or stood there, but I was sure that Jesus heard the cry of my heart. And I committed my life to him. What's that, 57 years ago? No, more than that, Prem. And I'm so thankful for the work of grace that he has done in my life ever since. So this morning, as I was invited to come and speak to you, these words just kept resonating within my spirit. Amazing grace. If you want to give a summary of the testimony of my life, here's a man of amazing grace. One of the first things that I remember when I committed my life to Jesus was a little chorus. My darling wife Margaret is not able to be with us today, so I brought another companion, if that's all right. Prem, could you help me with... This This is my other companion. Actually, it's called For the Uninitiated. Does that fit in there? Sorry, man. For the uninitiated, this is called a ukulele. It used to be a guitar. But my wife washed it one day and... No, not true. This is the first chorus that I can remember. It's taken from a verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die on Calvary from sin to set me free. One day he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me. So wonderful his love to me. So wonderful his grace to me. Thank you. We can leave that there, that'd be fine. Thanks, mate. Thank you. I don't know if you do this, but in the city church when I sing, people give me a clap and then they throw money. Do they do that? No, I'm just saying, Prem, all right? Okay. One of the first verses in the Bible that I learned was in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And hopefully my thanks to Tim, who's got the verses up on the screen. If you didn't have your Bibles with you today, that's fine. Hopefully these will come into remembrance to you. The Bible there says it is for by grace or through grace we have, through faith, we have been saved. It's not of ourselves, not of works that anyone could boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to bring 3 points about grace today, and the first is this: God has given us the grace of salvation. Where would I be today? I'm not sure. You probably ask yourself the same question. Where would you be today? I hate to think, to be honest, unless God had invaded my life with the grace of his salvation. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, this is not there, Tim, don't worry. It says, God demonstrated his love towards us in this: while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. What amazing grace. That God would choose us, though we deserved punishment, though we deserved the consequences of our disobedience to God, and went off and did our own self-indulgent nature. God said, I still love you. I want you in my family. And perhaps through the witness of a friend, or through reading the Bible, or hearing a song, God introduced himself to you and offered his salvation grace to you. And today, I don't know many of you that are here. I'm trusting many of you have already said yes to the Lord Jesus. But if you've not said yes to his amazing grace, if you've wondered, what's the purpose of my life? I'm living to do my own thing. I'm being self-indulgent, if I'm honest, but it's not satisfying. God says, come my way, walk in step with me. I have a wonderful plan for your life. By faith, reach out and receive the salvation grace that I offer to you today. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this, that we have been redeemed by his blood. It goes on to say, as we've got the scripture here, the forgiveness of our sins is offered to us today in accordance with his rich grace towards us. And so just before we proceed any further in this service, I would like to pray a prayer. We call it the ABCD prayer. And if this relates to where you are at today, you don't have to speak it out loud, but in your heart, and perhaps before you leave, tell somebody that you prayed this prayer. You too can receive the amazing grace of Jesus' salvation. First, acknowledge that you are a sinner and have fallen short of God's grace. That's the A. A for acknowledge. B, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who took upon himself through his death on the cross the punishment for your sin and for my sin. C, make a confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. And D, decide to now commit the rest of your life to living in allegiance to his call upon your life. And if you in your heart have made that simple prayer of confession, that prayer of repentance, where you're not going to live self-indulgently anymore, but you're going to live under the grace of God, then the Bible declares, as many as received him, he has given us the grace of eternal life. When I first got saved, I was so keen, having made a commitment of my life to Jesus, that I just didn't want to say or do anything. And I appreciate your honesty today, Melina, but I knew that my thought life was still going here, there and everywhere, and I was still disappointing God. And so every Sunday at church, when there was an altar call there, people coming forward for prayer, I felt like I had to go and get prayed for all over again. It was almost like I felt that the dependence of my salvation was on my own performance. But I didn't get saved because I earned it. And my salvation is not maintained because I earned it. It always and ever will be by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you in your heart think, oh, I've blown it today. If Jesus came tonight, I probably wouldn't even go to heaven. Please don't allow that sense of condemnation upon you. If you've been genuine in the repentance of your heart before God and surrendered your life to him, not only did he bring forgiveness to you, but his righteousness is applied to your life every day and maintained by him. This is the grace of our salvation. But there's a second area of grace that I want for you to embrace with me today, and that is the grace for daily living. Because the Lord knows that on this side of eternity, stuff happens. Sometimes we didn't ask for it. Sometimes it's a consequence of stuff that we did ask for. But God in his mercy continues to work with us and continues to provide. The one who started a good work within us, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I needed his grace to come into fellowship with him, to know my sins have been forgiven and know that I'm part of his family. But I also, every day, need his grace to help me, because I know words from my mouth, thoughts in my mind, attitudes in my heart that I wish were not there, but in my humanity that tries to rise up from time to time, I have to keep, in Paul's words, keep crucifying myself in the flesh, as it were, or allowing God to do that so that his grace can continue to flow from my life. I love this verse in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, righteous, and godly lives in this present age. Not only did I come to salvation through the initiative of the grace of a loving Heavenly Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus, but every day the Bible tells me His compassions are renewed towards me. Great is His faithfulness. Every day I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." There are probably people here this morning that have just found that even in trying to live the Christian life, things have got a little bit heavy for them and weighed them down, and perhaps even feeling like they're never going to make a success of it, and even tempted to give up because they don't want to be hypocritical or whatever. But the Bible would encourage you today, if you're feeling along those lines, to come and surrender yourself afresh to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that He has provided for daily living, and find the sustenance that He can give to lift up your spirit when you're down. And we all have our days, for no reason sometimes, when we just feel like life is overwhelming to us, to come afresh under His grace and know His provision to help us in that time of need. I've been encouraged by when the Apostle Paul, in the honesty of his own life, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talked about his thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't really know what the thorn in the flesh was. Some Bible commentators seem to think it was a physical ailment, because others, he's talking about, "I know that if you could, you would pull out your own eyes and give them to me." So perhaps he had some physical problem that just didn't seem to be healing itself. Other people seem that it might have been a psychological problem that he had, that the enemy of his soul kept reminding him, "Paul, how could you be an apostle? How could you say that you're a believer in God when you were the one that Christians in prison and even had them killed?" And perhaps the weight of that conscience was upon him and his thorn in the flesh. And there may be people today where the enemy is trying to rob you of your vitality in your Christian life, trying to take you back to the memory of stuff that has happened to you, or even stuff that you have done. And you've even questioned, "Mark, can God really forgive me and deal with this?" I've come today to reassure you that His amazing grace, no matter how deep you feel you've fallen to, His amazing grace can reach down and lift you up if you will allow Him today, and bring a joy and bring a vitality and a refreshment back to your spirit and to your walk with Him. This is the grace of daily living. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16, the Bible says these wonderful words: "Therefore, we have a great high priest who has gone to the heavens, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." And it goes on to say, "He is not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, or to sympathize with our frailties, or to sympathize with the failures that we seem to have brought to our attention from time to time. But He is the one who was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. I want you to know that Jesus, in coming as God the Son in human flesh, he knows what it's like to be a human. No, he did not sin. But he did suffer and he did face all the temptations and trials that you and I face. He can relate to where we're at. And he doesn't come with condemnation this morning. But he comes with encouragement and reassurance. He comes to speak love and grace and peace into your spirit. And therefore, it goes on to say, therefore, let us approach the throne of God boldly or with confidence, that we may receive mercy and we might find grace to help us in our times of need. What amazing grace. Grace for my salvation. Grace for my daily living. So if you've felt like you have been weighed under, let me speak a prayer of God over you this morning. And if this is putting words that you feel in your own spirit, you can also be expressing this towards God. Lord God, thank you that you know every detail of my daily life. I share it with you in the honesty of my heart. Lord, even today, there's stuff that I feel I perhaps need to be forgiven of. There are things that have happened in life that, Lord, have really weighed me down, and I'm not enjoying the fullness that I believe the abundance that your Bible promises for followers of Jesus. Would you receive me afresh today? Embrace me, Lord, in your amazing grace. And may I rise up from here with a fresh spring in my step, knowing that I am a child of God, and no one and nothing, as Romans tells us, can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I love that prayer that Jesus prayed with his disciples. This is in Matthew chapter 11. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. This is not on the sheet, don't worry, Tim. For old Tim, I haven't got this on the sheet. No, I didn't put that one on. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am humble and gentle in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. I love how the Message paraphrase puts the end part of that. It goes on and says, Prem and I have talked about this when we had a coffee a couple of months ago. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's what I want to do, Lord. Every day I want to walk in step with the unforced rhythms of your grace in my life. And lastly, the third point that I want to bring to your attention. It's wonderful to be receivers of God's grace in salvation. It's wonderful every day to rise up and say, Lord, thank you that your compassions are renewed to me. I receive your grace afresh today for my daily life. But Jesus also said in Matthew 10 and verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. And so the last point that I want to bring to your attention is simply this: to enjoy the grace for service. Because God has got a purpose and a plan for each one of you, and not just to get us all into heaven, but whilst we're here on this side of eternity, God wants you and I to be his, to use a Bible word, ambassadors for grace, wherever we go and whatever we're doing. That's why that very first verse that I referred to in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Other translations say, we are God's masterpiece. I don't know if you've got some nice paintings on your wall, but if you do, say, I could be in that because I'm God's masterpiece. Or the actual Greek word is the word poema, from which we get poem. Have you ever thought that you are God's poem to the world? Read by all men? What a wonderful privilege we have that God would not only save us, but he would give us the privilege of partnering with him to not just be receivers, but to be transmitters of his grace in this world in which he has placed us. That's why I love this verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, each one of us has been given a gift that we might use it to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So don't underestimate yourself. Don't allow other voices to put you down, because God looks you in the eye and says, wait a minute, who are you to denigrate that? You are my masterpiece. You are my poem to be spoken. You are my workmanship. Walk proudly and allow the grace that you have received from me to flow out from you and touch the lives of others around about you. When I first became a Christian, I started reading through the Bible and read through the book of Acts. And I read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, the introduction to a man by the name of Barnabas. And I said in my spirit, Lord, I don't know what my life is. I was only 15 at the time. Lord, but would you make me a Barnabas? His name means a son of encouragement. Oh, I don't know, perhaps I need a second opinion there, but I hope that as I've travelled around, that I have been a son of encouragement. And then I flicked a little bit further through Paul's writing and the little one chapter letter of Philemon and verse 7 of Philemon, where Paul is commending him as the leader of the church. He said, Philemon, he says, your love brings me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, refresh the hearts of the saints. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I'd never planned to be a pastor, but I said, Lord, when I'm in church, wherever I am, I want to be a refresher of the hearts of the saints. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 talks about, thank you, you can put that up for us, Tim, how Christ leads us in procession to him and how we are to be the fragrance of Jesus wherever we go. I can tell where my wife has been in our house because I can smell the perfume. I think, aha, Margaret's been here. Margaret's been there. Not that I'm spying on her. I mean, I'm a loving husband. I don't go around the house, where's she been? Yeah. But I know where she's been because of the fragrance that she's left. I pray wherever we go, workplace, local shops, in our neighbourhoods, in the park, people will, there's a fragrance here. And I trust that they will come to know that it's the fragrance of Jesus. You will be his grace for service. Somebody says, some perfume clings to the hand of whoever gives a rose. And I thought, that's a beautiful thought. I'm going to use that in the sermon today, and I just did. So as you go out into a new week and give roses, bless others by doing so. But know that the perfume of what you've given also enriches your own lives. We are to be receivers of God's grace, and we are to be transmitters of God's grace. Margaret and I love the adventure of this. Every day we go out and we say, Lord, wherever we go, we want to be the aroma of Jesus. We love coffee. We're in a coffee shop every day. I don't know how we can afford it on the pension, but we do. I know how we can afford it, because the other day we went and the guy who owns the shop, I went to pay with my card and he said, no charge today. I said, oh, Brad, that's very kind of you. He said, every time you come in, as a couple, he said, every time you come in, you leave such a positive vibe in this place. I think, wow, that's great. I'm going to come back more often. And we love paying forward for somebody. Knowing what I was going to preach, just a couple of days ago, we were sitting in a cafe, and this mum came in with a little baby, and the idea came, you pay for a coffee. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what if she orders a three-course meal or something like that? But I made a decision in my heart. I said, okay, Lord, I'll be very happy to do that. So I went and I said, that mum back there, as I go, I'd like to pay for her coffee as well. Oh, she said, she's already paid for it. I said, yes. But the Lord saw my heart. We love doing that. We love buying coffee vouchers and going to our local coal store and saying, hey, you serve us so well. Would you like to have a free coffee to say thank you? And just last week, we live in a block of apartments. There's a lovely young couple live above us, and we recognise that the young lady, who they only been married a couple of years, was going to have a child soon. And so we bought a nice little gift for the baby and gave it to them. Oh, thank you so much. They invited us for afternoon tea. And as we were talking about different things in life and what you did and whatever, they said, oh, we've been thinking of going to church. Can we come to your church? I think that would be all right. And so last Sunday they came with us to church. Now, they didn't put their hand up and make a decision for God, but we're saying, Lord, we might have just been planting, or we might have just been watering. It's only you that can give the increase, but thank you that you are enabling us to be your perfume, to be transmitters of your grace. Let me close with this as a prayer over us as a congregation, and I appreciate your attention to God's word today. I love how Paul finishes his second letter to Corinthians, chapter 13 and verse 14. It's a doxology, if you like, but I love how the Living Bible puts it. And it really sums up all that I've wanted to share with you today. It's from the Apostle Paul. Paul is known as the Apostle of Grace. He wrote 13 letters in our New Testament. Every one of them, he says, may grace and peace be yours. In fact, the very last, Paul didn't write the last verse of the Bible, John did that, but it says, may the grace of God be on all God's people. Grace is so close to the heart of God, and I want us as believers and followers of him to walk in that grace. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 says this, may the amazing grace of our Master Jesus Christ and the extravagant love of God our Father and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.